to see you and good to be in the house of the Lord. I hope that you're having a good Sunday today. If you're visiting with us today, we are so glad that you're here today. Next week, we're starting a new three-week series, Faith, Hope, and Love. Faith, Hope, and Love. And today's message is entitled Church Home. Church Home. Do the people that you see and talk to every day have a church home? We saw in this opening video someone who didn't have an actual physical home, and that is very important. But how much more important is someone having a church home, a place where they are connected with brothers and sisters in Christ and able to grow in their walk and relationship with the Lord? And so a lot of times when I meet people, sometimes for the first time, I will just ask them, do you have a church home? Is there a place that you call home here, that you go to church? And they'll say all kinds of things that will usually open up a can of worms and let me know where to direct the conversation spiritually and how to get there. So that's a lot of times my opening question when I meet somebody. Do you have a church home, a place where you worship? And I usually take it from there, however the Holy Spirit leads me. If you've never watched this movie before, I recommend the edited version. This version is usually on some channel every Thanksgiving. And as we saw here in the opening, Steve Martin is trying to get home to see his family for Thanksgiving. And John Candy bumps into him and suddenly makes it his mission to help him get home. And what do we find out in the end? John Candy is really the one who needed help. He didn't even have a home. Steve Martin has every right to be annoyed with him because along this journey of planes, trains, and automobiles, John Candy is truly annoying. But Steve Martin opens up not only his heart, but it's home to him. The question I have for you, is there anyone you've been annoyed with lately? Is there anyone that you've been annoyed with lately? Perhaps they've gotten on your last nerve. And why is that? Is it because they're not like you? They don't think like you or act like you? Maybe they just need some help, right? Maybe they just need some help. Do you think you can help your coworker, your boss, your teammate, your relative, your ex-spouse? Do you think you can open up your heart to them again? Right now you may be saying, well, Eddie, you don't understand what they did to me. You're right. I don't understand. However, Jesus does. The Bible says we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us, our weaknesses. So Jesus understands. What does this mean? Well, it means he will help you do what you otherwise could not do on your own. His Spirit living in you will give you a love for them. Well, the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law, they didn't love Jesus or his disciples. Why? Because his Spirit wasn't living in them. Well, how do we know this? Because they were focused on the externals rather than on this, rather than on the internals. Let's jump right into Scripture here in our story in Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Some Pharisees and teachers of religious law now arrived from Jerusalem to see Jesus. They asked him, why do your disciples disobey our age-old tradition? For they ignore our tradition of ceremonial hand-washing before they eat. Well, how do we know someone is lost? How do we know someone is lost? Because all they do is focus on the externals. All they do is focus on the externals. Why do we have a tendency to focus on the externals? Why do we have that tendency to do that? Because it's just human nature, right? It's just human nature. Do you remember what happened when Samuel saw Eliab back in 1 Samuel 16, 6 and 7? It says this, when they arrived, Samuel took one look at Eliab and thought, surely this is the Lord's anointed, right? This guy's tall. He looks like this is who the Lord wants. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but what? But the Lord looks at the heart. The Lord looks at the heart. I don't know about you, but I often judge people based on their outward appearance. I often judge people based on their outward appearance. What does this show? It shows that my heart isn't right with the Lord. These Pharisees and teachers of religious law, their hearts weren't right with the Lord. Well, how do we know their hearts weren't right with the Lord? Because of what Jesus said to them. What did Jesus say to them? Let's continue on here. Verse 3. Jesus replied, and why do you, by your tradition, violate the direct commandments of God? For instance, God says, honor your father and mother. And anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father or mother must be put to death. But you say it is all right for people to say to their parents, sorry, I can't help you, for I vowed to give to God what I would have given to you. Were they really giving to God what they would have given to their parents? Were these Pharisees and teachers of the law, were they really giving to God what they would have given to their parents? No. This was just a clever way for them to keep what they had for themselves. In other words, what they had in their homes was off limits. Why? Because it had been set aside for God. That was just an excuse. Here's a question. What have you vowed to give to God, but is really off limits? I want you to think about your life. What is it that you treasure or value so much that if it were taken away from you today, you would be upset about it? What is it you vowed to give to God? But God can have every area of your life, but this area, that's off limits. Is it your heart? Is it your heart? What's the real reason you haven't opened yourself up more to the things of God? Like maybe you're here this morning, you're kind of new, and you just have been holding things close to your chest, holding things back, not sure about this church, maybe not sure about this pastor. Like, man, I didn't know we'd be watching videos today in church. And so you've been kind of holding things close to your chest, and you're not sure about opening up more to the things of God, allowing Him into your heart and life. Why is that? Is it because you don't believe He's worth your time and investment? Listen to what Jesus said here in Matthew 16, 24. Then Jesus said to His disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? What were these Pharisees and teachers of religious law investing in? What were they pouring their lives into? What were they investing in? Their bodies, not their souls. I gotta be honest. I often fall for the same trap. I get caught up in my exercise, my routine, my schedule, my life, the things that I'm doing, more than I do in becoming like Jesus. Paul said this to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:8. Physical training is good. Sports, exercise, it's good. But training for godly godliness, becoming like Jesus, is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. Young person, middle schooler, high schooler, college, what is it you're training for and working on every day? What is it you're training on, training for, and working on so hard every day? Playing sports is good. However, don't let it take over your life. Why? Because Paul says there's something out there that's much better. It's Jesus. Well, the Pharisees and teachers of religious law, they weren't interested in becoming like Jesus. Instead, like our culture today, they wanted to cancel out the Word of God. Why? For the sake of their own tradition. Verse 16 in Matthew 15. In this way, you say, they don't need to honor their parents. And so you cancel the Word of God for the sake of your own tradition. What is cancel culture all about? It's about getting rid of whatever people don't like or agree with. What is cancel culture all about? It's about getting rid of whatever people don't like or agree with. We live in a me-first society. That everybody is their own God. When they do come to worship, their worship is false. Why? Because it's usually about them and what they can get out of the church. What should coming to church be about? What should coming to church be about? It should be about worshiping the Lord, worshiping Jesus. We don't come to church to get, but to give. Right? We don't come to church to get, but to give. You come to give your worship to the Lord and serve wherever there's a need. That's why you come. You come to genuinely give your worship to the Lord and to serve wherever there's a need. Listen to what Jesus said here. Matthew 20, 26. But among you, it will be different. Among us as Christians, it's going to be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be a servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to give his life, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Why don't we have more leaders and volunteers in our churches today? Because a lot of people just aren't interested in serving. Who are these Pharisees and teachers of religious law serving? Themselves. They were serving themselves. Therefore, Jesus called them hypocrites. Why? Because the only thing they were really giving to the Lord was lip service. Continuing on in verse 7. You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, for he wrote, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce. It's a sham. They're just kind of going through the motions. For they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. Then Jesus called to the crowd, to come and hear and listen, he said. And try to understand, it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. You are defiled by the words that come out of your mouth. How did the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law react to what they just heard from Jesus? Well, they were offended. They were offended by what Jesus said. Verse 12, then the disciples came to him and asked, do you realize you offended the Pharisees by what you just said? Jesus replied, every plant not planted by my heavenly Father will be uprooted, so ignore them. Ignore them. They're blind guides leading the blind. And if one blind person guides another, they will both fall into the ditch. What happens when we don't meet people's expectations? What happens when we don't meet congregations, well, they're offended, and they often leave. However, that shouldn't bother us. In fact, Jesus told us to ignore them. Why? Because they were unwilling to help with what they felt needed to be done. Because of this, Jesus says they will end up falling in a ditch. In other words, they will end up going nowhere. Now, this isn't what I want for us in our church. I want us to fulfill the vision and the mission that God has given us. You say, well, what is our vision? Well, what is our vision? It's to create a place where everyone is known and loved. Because we all have that innate desire, that desire to be known and loved. We saw it in this opening video here. John Candy had a desire to be known and loved for who he was. That's our vision. When people walk in this door, I want them to feel like they're at home, like they found their home here, that they are known, that they matter, that they're important, that we can remember their names. I try very hard to remember your names, right? Sometimes I just ask you again because I want to know you. You're important to me. You're important to the kingdom of God, to this church family. What's our mission? To lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. We want to help you grow in your walk and relationship with the Lord. What does someone who is in a growing relationship with Jesus want? They want to do his will. Someone who's in a growing relationship with Jesus, they want to do his will. I don't know about you, but I want to do his will. Jesus said that, going to the cross, not my will, but your will be done. I want his will to be done in my life because I know that his will is what's best for my life. This is exactly what Peter wanted. He wanted God's will to be done in his life. And so he asked for an explanation. Lord, you're talking here, but I'm not really sure I'm getting what you're saying. Can you explain what you're saying? Okay, Jesus says, verse 15. Then Peter said to Jesus, explain to us the parable that says people aren't defiled by what they eat. Don't you understand yet? Jesus asked. Anything you eat passes through the stomach and then goes into the sewer. But the words you speak come from the what? The words you speak come from the heart. That's what defiles you. For from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. These are what defile you. Eating with unwashed hands will never defile you. What's my problem? A lot of times, I'm focused on what other people are doing or not doing. Right? I'm just being honest. A lot of times, I'm focused on what other people are doing or not doing. Why? Because I don't want to deal with the junk in my own heart. What's in my heart? All the evil things Jesus just mentioned here in this list, they're the things that I don't want you to discover about me. Right? Just being real honest and open. They're the things that I don't want you to discover about me. What did Steve Martin discover about John Candy? That he really wasn't a bad guy. In fact, in a lot of ways, he was just like him. He just wanted to be known and loved for who he was. And I think it's safe to say that in the end, he was. Steve Martin opened up not only his heart to him, but his home. He said, come on in and meet my family. I got a family here for you to meet. My home is your home. And that's how you and me need to be with our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, the people in this community. Come on in here. We have a family for you. You've been without a home. We got a home for you. You've been lost and you didn't even know it. church too. The people in this community who aren't like us. The people in this community who aren't like us, which is probably a lot. Right? We need to open up our heart to them. The people who may just annoy us. We may not like what they believe or how they act. In other words, they don't wash their hands before they eat. What's wrong with them? Jesus has called us to look beyond the externals. So first thing I focus on, right, what this person is wearing, well, what they look like. Jesus called us to look beyond that into their heart. He's called us to look at their heart. He's called us to have compassion for them. If we don't, we may end up becoming a Pharisee ourselves. What's a Pharisee? It's someone who claims to honor and love the Lord, but is really far from Him. Sometimes I don't know that that's not me. I don't know if that's not me sometimes. Someone who's claiming, oh yeah, I love Jesus, I'm for Him. Claiming to honor Him and love Him. But like John Candy and Steve Martin, I'm the Steve Martin guy. I'm getting on the train going to my family. And I don't know that I'm turning back for Him. Who is it you need to turn back for? Dig a little deeper. Find out their story. Because when we found out John Candy's story, we were moved. He said, I haven't been home in years, and my wife died 8 years ago. I don't have a home. There's people out there who are hurting. Their spouse died. Right? It was a lonely Thanksgiving for them. They need a home. We got to dig a little deeper. And the question we need to be asking is, do you have a church home? No, I don't. Oh, okay. Well, I'd like to invite you to Stone Ridge. Or, yeah, I have a church I go to, but I don't go very often. Or I haven't been learning or growing or absorbing anything from, would it be okay if I told you about our church? I don't want to take you from your church, but I'd just like to tell you a little bit about our church and what God is teaching me or showing me. Because I found a home. I found a place where I belong, where I feel known and loved and people care. That's the kind of vision that I have for our church, to create that place. That when people walk in here, they know they're known and loved and cared for. And it's a vision that's bigger than me and Tyler. It's all of us connecting with one another. I recently bought a new TV. And my old TV, I put on Decora Now. Some of you saw it. So I see that sound on this TV. And a lady actually bought it last night. And it was $20, and she didn't have the money. And I just said, well, if you like it, just come back and pay me. If you don't like it, just keep the TV. Don't worry about it. And you know, I started to ask her about who she knew here in town, and she knew half the people that I already knew. I said, well, where do you go to church? And she told me where she went to church. I said, oh, okay, that's interesting. That's her church home. She said, yeah. Not real confident. But it opened up the door to some conversation. Those kind of conversations we need to have, because we're so interconnected here in this town. We're all one relationship away from another person. We're all one relationship away. We need to bring those people in. We need to hear their stories. Find out if they got a home. Maybe you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. You've been lost. Well, today you can ask Him into your heart. Ask Him to be your Lord and Savior, to forgive you for your sins. And He can make a place, a home for you. Maybe you're here today and you say, I have a church home, but I don't know that I've invited anyone here to this home. Well, we're going to pray that God would give you the courage and the boldness and the words this week. Because between Christmas, Thanksgiving, and Christmas and New Year's, people are out there looking for a home, a place to belong. Oftentimes they'll go to a place that will love and care for them, but that's not really a good place. They'll join something that isn't always the best for them or healthy for them. We have the greatest vision and mission there is. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your word. It's powerful. It's convicting. Maybe you're here this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed, and you say, Ed, I have never asked Jesus into my home. I've never opened up my heart to Him. Really been closed off to Him. I'm here today because someone dragged me here. And I realize that what's been missing in my life is a home. And that home is Jesus in my heart. If you'd like to ask Him into your heart and into your life, then I'd like to lead you in a prayer. Prayer that you pray softly and quietly in your heart as you repeat these words after me. And here they are. Lord Jesus, I ask You to forgive me for my sins. I thank You for dying on the cross for me. I ask You to come into my heart and change me and make me like You. If you just pray that prayer, God will honor that prayer. Maybe you hear this one, you said, hey, Ed, I'm a Christian, but I feel like I'm far from Him right now. I don't feel like I'm connected to Him myself. I kind of feel like these Pharisees here. I've been focused on the wrong things, on my schedule or my exercise or my routine. I've been focused on all these external things instead of on the internals, instead of becoming the person You want me to become. Would You pray for me, Ed? Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I pray for myself that You would help us to become the men and women You've called us to become, that we may fall more in love with You and less in love with the things of this world. It's in Jesus' name we pray.